Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
You know, you read a headline and you're like, yeah, that's not the case. That's the headline in Fox News right now. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. And I don't think you do either. Now, I should take a moment for just a little bit of... Let's all be aware of a couple things. There's no part of me that wants to spend a day talking about the Jew-hating, America-hating bigots on college campuses. And I could have done that before October 7th because we all saw it and we all knew it. I admit that I am amazed by the people who are saying they are stunned. They didn't know that this was happening. The only way you didn't know this was happening was by not paying attention. You were so busy showing people how good and decent you were, how woke you were. That's what they were doing, that they never noticed that these people hated them, hated the country, hated everything. All they want to do is burn it down, tear it down, nothing else. You think we're looking at anti-Semitism? Don't get me wrong, of course it's there. We're looking at people who want to destroy the country. We've been discussing this thing since October 8th. They don't want Israel to stop. They don't actually care. They don't want the Palestinians to have a homeland. They don't care. What they want is to tear it down. This was George Washington University over the weekend.
This wretched system. There's only one way. Just like that chant that we enjoy so much, there is only one solution. Intifada revolution. We must have revolution so we can have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America.
First, you start with Intifada Revolution, Intifada being uprising. So you are stating that what you're looking for is revolution, and then what we need in the United States is a socialist revolution. You are not shocked nor surprised. You knew it the minute it happened. All right, maybe it took a couple of days, right? You're busy, you've got a life, the kids, you're working, a whole bunch of things, but you knew it. You knew it before these people started having a conversation about, These protests really seem to be about a more than just anti-Semitism. Of course they are. And they have to be discussed in their fullness. An extension of the George Floyd riots? Absolutely. An extension of Antifa wanting to burn it all down? Absolutely. An extension of go back in history to occupy Wall Street? Absolutely. Tony Katz Today, 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. That's the number. That's how you get to be a part of the show. These things, you can draw a line. You can see where they are at. You can take a look at their signage. They are not having a conversation about Israel. They don't care. They'll utilize it, but they don't care. The objective is the tearing down of the nation as is. How many more ways do they have to tell you? How many more ways do they have to show you? If you think this is about free Palestine, you're out of your head. Producer Jason, finger on the dump button, if you would. This is in Vancouver. And can we just be clear? The South Park guys were right. Blame Canada. Blame Canada with all that hockey hullabaloo and that bitch Anne Murray, too. They were right. They were right. Praise their names. Listen.
They're not terrorists. They are resistance fighters. They are freedom fighters. And they are heroes for a new world.
Hamas are heroes for a new world. And what kind of new world is this? we just take a moment that when you're cheering Yemen as the leaders in freedom and democracy, chances are you never read a book. That those are the odds. You think this is about Palestine? We know it, and now they know it. And so we need to take these things and just keep pushing it out there. This is we are all libs of TikTok now. All right, this is what you said. I didn't even have to edit it. Just broop, there it is, right up to the fore. Let everybody see it. But this is the headline over at Fox News, and this headline I don't buy and I don't believe. Democratic lawmakers break from party lines in battle royale over anti-Semitic student rebels. House Democrats tell Columbia University, time for negotiation is over.
Now turning to Columbia University, where protests continue for a 13th day. Students now demanding the university divest from companies that do business with Israel. Brian Yenis is at Columbia.
We don't have to worry about Brian Yenis. But you've got Representative Gottheimer of New Jersey, Dan Goldman of New York, and 21 other House Democrats signing a letter urging the Columbia University Board of Trustees to disband, quote, the unauthorized and impermissible encampment of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish activists on campus. Fox News has the headline wrong, what they had on their homepage. The idea that the time for negotiation is over was the moment that these people put up an encampment and started blocking Jews from walking around the campus. But you know as well as I do, just think about it for a couple minutes. They don't want to get rid of the encampment because they oppose, although maybe one or two of them actually do. Why would they want to get rid of the encampment? Why, in almost May of 2024, an election year, would they want to get rid of the encampment? And that's exactly right. It's an election year. You think this party actually cares? This is the party that will not excoriate Ilhan Omar. Okay, maybe you didn't hear this from Ilhan Omar. Maybe you didn't hear this from Ilhan Omar. I have it. I will share it with you. That the bigot, Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, she was on the campus of Columbia talking to students, and then in an interview afterward said this.
How do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
I'm sorry, maybe I should have warned the people driving, keep your hands on the wheel! Because that's insane. First, does that sound like a Democrat who's opposed to the encampment? The Democratic Party isn't split. Some of them don't want the political issue. But allow me, the pro-genocide Jews?
Or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
So if I support Israel's existence on pro-genocide, that's some Stalinist you-know-what right there. If you ever wanted to know what, like, Orwellian kind of thought process was when he would write in 1984 or write about, that's it. You're either pro-genocide or against genocide. I am pro-Israel. Oh, then you're pro-genocide. No, I'm not. But listen to what she said. Listen to how evil that is. I think that Representative Ilhan Omar is trash. And I think the squad is trash. And the people who support the squad, like Congressman Andre Carson, are despicable, disgusting, low-rent, low-class, low-minded people. They are bigots from the word go. so we understand each other. I'm a Zionist. My name is Tony Katz, K-A-T-Z. I'm a Zionist. I believe in Israel's right to exist. I believe in Israel's right to defend itself. I ain't apologizing for a damn thing. And I certainly don't accept anything Ilhan Omar says as how these things are phrased, that Jew-hating, repugnant bigot. I mean, that's a nutty, gross thing to say, and really just a real representation of the Marxist-Stalinist tactics at play. And of course, according to The View, this is all the fault of the political right.
So it has never been in my life, in my career, the criticizing policies of government is equated with anti-Semitism. And that, I think, is a far right, comes from the far right. It comes from the authoritarian leanings where they don't want students on these campuses to voice their opinions because they want to change the narrative going forward. But I think we have to be very, very
since
careful
I haven't said
about
anything.
That.
You can't get more disgusting, right? The issue isn't their calls for death. The issues isn't carrying signs that say final solution. The issues isn't signage that tells Jews to go home. What do you mean go home? Go back to Poland. That's your home. Now, admittedly, my family comes from Poland. They also come from Romania. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. But I'm pretty sure I have a house in Indiana, and that's where I'm staying. And that's why, of course, I'm also armed. Because if you want the house, you're going to have to fight me for it. But the criticizing of policies isn't what's happening here. These people are calling for Israel not to exist. And then they're calling for the nation, the United States, not to exist. So these people on the left are having a conversation that has nothing to do with the reality that you and I live in. And so the idea that the Democratic Party is split, the Democratic Party is not split. There are some Democrats who are desperate to get this subject behind them because they don't want it to be an election issue. But here we are. Doug Carter is the superintendent of the Indiana State Police, where at Indiana University, these encampments have been happening and police have been called in. The mayor of Bloomington has said we will not utilize our police to remove the encampments, but the city police usually don't get involved in things that happen on the campus itself. He is scheduled to be with us in a little bit to share what it is police are doing, how they're doing it, and are there things that are indeed too far? I have got that story coming up. Tony Katz, Tony Katz Today. I don't know if this is magnificent trolling or a lawsuit waiting to happen. I should be more into professional wrestling. Do you guys know who Eva Marie is? Producer Jason, do you know who Eva Marie is? Okay. He doesn't. No. She wrestled in the WWE, did Eva Marie. Tony Katz. Tony Katz. I did not. I did not wrestle in the WWE, although I would have been fantastic. Very red hair. I'm assuming she dyed it. I don't think that's a real color. Eva Marie is on the cover of something called Hook and Barrel magazine. It's a hunting magazine. It's what it is. It's a hunting magazine. Guy Fieri's been on the cover. Donald Trump Jr. has been on the cover. And now Eva Marie is on the cover of Hook and Barrel magazine. She's now into hunting. And why did she get into hunting? She got into hunting because she watched a documentary about factory farming from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Shout out to PETA because you guys made me a hunter. Thank you very much, she's quoted as saying, because they did all the hard work by showcasing factory farming. So now I'm going to hunt my own meat. You should know where your meat comes from. Eva, can I call you Eva? I don't think this is what they meant. Look, I'm not an expert, but I don't think they meant you should go hunt on your own. They're trying to tell you not to eat meat at all. And now here you are going out there and looking for deer. Lord only knows what else. Maybe you're going to, you know, bow hunt a turkey. I don't know. Can you bow hunt a turkey? I'm not sure. I have been asked to go hunting 9 billion times. 9 billion. And my answer is always the same. I have zero interest. I don't mind other people hunting. I have no issue with hunting at all. I cannot think of anything that... Well, okay, if you really press me to it, I can think of a couple things. I cannot think of anything that I would find more mind-numbing than hunting. That is me. That is not you. People tell me I'm wrong, how much they enjoy it. It's like I haven't really done clay shooting before. People are like, it is so great, you would love it so much. I'm like, nah. But as I've told you, Second Amendment guy up and down the line. I do not enjoy practice at all. I do not enjoy shooting in the slightest. I don't like it. I don't find any amusement or fun in it at all. After the first 10 rounds, I'm like, what am I doing here? Which is usually the same feel after spending the first 10 bucks at a strip club. What am I doing here? There has to be a better application of my time. And people look at me like, how? I'm like, I don't know how, but it's true. It just is. And I, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. But I have zero issue with hunting, and it is extremely important. And every time you find people politically who are like, well, we can't be hunting this animal, you find the disaster that happens if that animal is not properly hunted and therefore maintained in terms of number of population. There are real things there. Never mind the people who actually do indeed, of course, eat what they kill. The guy who taught my kids Krav Maga, oh yes, he talks about not only hunting, but he can do the whole deer. And the field stripping and the everything else, and then the butcher, like the whole thing. Like, that's a super impressive skill. I do not know if Eva can do that. I don't know if she can do that. But PETA got her to start hunting. I don't know if that's trolling or sincere. I'm not sure. I just. Something about that story is just spectacular, because you know that's not what PETA was going for. PETA was going for you not eating meat. And let me just say for the record, my love of steak.
Cooking a steak, wouldn't it be great? You could be my mate, cooking a steak. For goodness sake, will you please be my mate and come and cook a steak? Steak.
Unyielding. No matter what PETA says, hey, you know what? I don't think we should be abusing animals. We shouldn't go full Christy Gnome. Oh, Christy Gnome. Yeah, she's not going to be a vice presidential nominee. That's over. I will discuss that story. Indiana University, they have encampments, and these Hamas supporters. State police get called in, but what is their job? What is their function? What is too much, if such a thing exists? The superintendent of the Indiana Police joins me next. I'm Tony Katz. The protests that are taking place everywhere are taking place near you. whether you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or whether you're in St. Louis, Missouri, whether you're in Detroit. They're taking place right where you are, and certainly me being in Indiana, there's no difference. Tony Katz today. Great to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Indiana University, there are these, and I call them protests in quotes, because it's not really what it is. Well, what are they actually protesting? What these people are looking for is a diminishment of American civilization. They want to burn it all down. They want you to divest from investing in Israel. They want Israel destroyed, and they want America to be a socialist landscape. I'm sorry, hellscape. Not because I said so, but because they said so. But it's all under the guise of, look at what the Israelis are doing. Never once mentioning what it is that Hamas has done and is doing while they still hold American hostages. Well, there are cases where mayors don't allow the police to be called in. Then there are places where the campuses do call people in. Here in Indiana, Indiana University, you've got the Indiana State Police who can get called in because the local police in Bloomington, Indiana, where I'm heard on WGCL radio, they have said they're not coming. Or at least the mayor has said the police are not coming. So are the state police the people to handle this? Could there be a governor that says, nope, you are not allowed to handle this if they're called? How do they deal with those kinds of situations? Their job is to protect people. But sometimes they can be told not to. Doug Carter joins me right now. He is the superintendent of the Indiana State Police. He has been dealing with this issue here in the state of Indiana, as many have across the country. We'll focus on what you're dealing with in Bloomington, Indiana, and people understand how this probably applies in a lot of other places. When the protests and encampments started happening at IU, did the university call you directly, or was it an outreach to the governor that then landed, of course, on your desk?
Hey, Tony, first of all, thanks for having me. It was a direct call from the university to me. And there's been a tremendous amount of coordination and communication with the university, along with other people. But even because of that, there's a lot of false information out there that's really seems to be driving the narrative right now.
Let's talk about what that is. First, you know, in the case of IU, they used to allow people to camp out on what's known the Dunmeadow there, D-U-N-N is what it's called, Dunmeadow. And then they changed the rules to not allow it. It used to be allowed, but there was no overnight encampment taking place. Was that change of policy based on a conversation with you or with your team, or was that IU on its own that you know it?
No, that discussion occurred at the university level. That there's always been a rule that would prohibit them from overnight camping there. So, I mean, that's certainly one of the issues, but that's not one that's associated with the ISP protecting people, no matter what their message is.
So you get called in and it's, hey, we need to move this encampment and this isn't allowed. You will see people on the left, you've seen some people on the right saying it is wrong, and how dare you arrest people just because they're anti-Semites, because of what it is they're saying. Has there been any charge from your team about anti-Semitism, or has it been about another specific policy?
No, the message down there is the annihilation of all Jews. And it's very, very clear. And we realized that very, very early on. And I think the vast majority of people, Tony, would agree that free and protected speech is very different than hate speech. What I observed on my own was hate speech. And our job is to protect all people. We'll protect people that we don't agree with. But we will not sit idly by when those kinds of things are occurring. And I think there's a lot more to this than what people are understanding.
Talking to Doug Carter, he's the superintendent of the Indiana State Police. I want to kind of get an idea of how you describe hate speech as somebody who is not a believer. There's a difference between the idea of someone being a bigot, a la Louis Farrakhan, versus someone saying death to all Jews. Are you saying that that latter is what was happening on the campus of IU in Bloomington, Indiana?
Yes, it absolutely was, and in large part, at least from my perspective, being driven by faculty that were there. The faculty, the tenured faculty members that were there, and I had personal conversation with several of them, and doing everything I could do to please, please, please understand where we're coming from, why this is important. This encampment cannot be allowed to stay. To please work with us, and we will protect your position as you protect, you believe you're protecting the Palestinian people. But what's happening now cannot continue. We will plunge these campuses into complete chaos. And it's happening in other universities around the country literally as we speak today. And it's the minority of people, and I appreciate their voice, but I don't appreciate the rhetoric and the intent to kill all Jewish people.
The rhetoric part, that you're speaking of, and you mentioned that it's being supported by professors at IU. Now, when I discuss that, I mean, I know that it's true and it's clear, and we see photographic evidence and we see video evidence. You're the superintendent of the Indiana State Police saying it. I know you a little bit, sir. And we've had many a conversation. Are you crossing the line from the job description into the political, or is this you having a discussion of what it is other people are instigating and how that's a problem for your team?
No, I should never cross that line, Tony, and I won't. As I said, we'll defend people's speech that we might not agree with. It's not whether or not we agree with it. That's got nothing to do with it. But our job is to maintain some type of a civilized existence in a civilized society, whether we agree or disagree. But we have a responsibility to all people, to all the people on campus, to all of the vote, to all of the voices. And it was important for me to be there directly. Some of the faculty that I had engaged with were very, very pleasant. They were very polite. Some of them were absolutely not. And all I wanted to do was to ask them to please slow this down. Let's figure out a way where we can coexist here. And I think that there's a way, but they wanted no part of that. There was no part of that.
But in your view, there were professors and administrators at Indiana University who were helping to gin up the students or coordinate these protests and certainly push what you consider to be the rhetoric about killing Jews like myself. That is unacceptable.
Yes, that's correct. And I believe that they could have slowed this down had they chosen to, based on the number of people that were there. There were a lot of people on the peripheral side of this, Tony, that were very supportive, but they wouldn't approach us to talk about it because they were afraid. That in itself sends a very strong message about the civility and incivility of what we were actually witnessing.
Let's talk about procedures. When you're called in, so you then have your team, your officers, if you will, on the ground. What is the procedure to trying to have an encampment disband and everybody head back to their homes or wherever it may be?
There are so many conversations that occurred, and I have to give a kudos to President Whitten down there. She was at the table, and she was the one that was trying to play all the different positions to understand the consequence of what we might have to do. We talked about weather. We talked about the number of people. We talked about rules. We talked about the legality. We called the chief deputy prosecutor of Monroe County and got his blessing. And he agreed with the position that we found ourselves in. We talked about the time of day. We talked about what was being discussed. We talked about the Israeli population, the Jewish population that's there. We talked about faculty and bystanders. All of those things were discussed, all the while trying to find some type of a peaceful resolution.
So after that's done, you put a plan into action. That plan includes arrests. It includes having to confront people and contain people. That includes physical action because people resist. Is there a conversation about levels of force and what can and cannot be utilized?
That depends on the group of people that we're discussing and dealing with. We had troopers injured. We had one trooper with a very badly broken finger. We had one trooper with a bunch of skin bitten out of his forearm. We gave them plenty of applications.
Did you just say bitten,
time.
Sir?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
We had a prepared statement to explain to them, we have safe egress from here. Please step away. Please remove your tents. Once the tents are removed, we will protect what you're doing. We gave them adequate time to be able to do that. And it just never did happen.
One of the things that did happen and got reported on in an attempt to either shock or try and bring a disrepute to the Indiana State Police. Oh, my gosh, at Indiana University, they've brought in snipers and they have snipers looking at these students. This is just too far. Were they snipers and is that too far?
Well, what happened, Tony, those weren't intended to be sniper positions. They were overwatch positions. And you don't have to look very far in this country, unfortunately, to see acts of mass violence. And I think I would have deserved criticism had that attempt been made by one of the people that some of them that have been radicalized that decide they're going to cause harm to as many people as possible. And the only way to have dealt with that would have been from above. This was an overwatch position. Did they have sniper capabilities? Yes, they did. But the analogy that we were going to create another Kent State was completely disingenuous and not truthful.
Talking to Doug Carter. Go ahead, sir.
It was overwatch. It was overwatch while we have police officers down in that area.
And so I would like to
protesters, but everybody else.
I would like to do a definition. Talking to Doug Carter, superintendent of the Indiana State Police. Can you define what overwatch is?
Yes, having the ability to determine what, if any, threat a person within the protest or outside of it might cause to other people.
So this was, is this the same as when you go to, let's say, a concert in downtown Indianapolis where the Pacers play, which is called Gainbridge Fieldhouse, the Indiana Pacers? I've gone to concerts there where I have seen police officers on the roof of Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Is it that same mentality?
It's a standard overwatch procedure that so many times we'll use. And Tony, remember, I'm explaining to you what I hope people don't have to worry about. I mean, that's what I worry about. I don't worry about the probability of something happening. I worry about the possibility of something happening to anybody, to any human being that is at a facility, an event, whatever that might be. So I think we could have done a better job there. We've learned from this. We've learned from the way in which we communicate. We've learned from the way in which what the perception might be to some people. So I hear that loud and clear, and I'm currently working with the mayor of Bloomington, who I talked to this morning, with the elected prosecutor of Monroe County, certainly with the board of trustees at IU and with IUPD, and where we're having these conversations. And they've been very respectful. In my opinion, they've been very, very, very fruitful.
Before I let you go, the mayor of Bloomington, she has stated that Bloomington police will not respond if called upon. This is not something they're taking part in. But I have learned that really Bloomington police don't get involved with on-campus issues this way. So I don't know why she made a video statement. Have you spoken with the mayor of Bloomington about if your team should need backup from Bloomington police?
I didn't ask her specifically that this morning. But the Bloomington police have taken calls for service down there for the IUPD. Remember, we come in when someone asks us to, and we will do the same thing in the Bloomington area. I think the mayor realizes that there's a different perspective to what occurred down there. We had a very, very good conversation. And I do believe that if I called her and we were in a very, very contentious, complicated position where we needed additional people, I'm not going to make a decision for her, but I can't help but to think that she would help us to protect other people.
Doug Carter, superintendent of the Indiana State Police, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and break that down. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today. Another fantastic innovation out of Europe. They now offer intelligent speed assist on all their cars. And that way, if you're going too fast, they can just slow you down.
F these people.
Hey, I don't think you understand how much they care about you and the environment.
Ew, David.
They're going to, it's in every car. Now, you can choose to switch it off every single day. You know, just like, you know, your car right now, if you come to a stop, like the engine cuts, like somehow it's going to save in gas. And they argue that it does. But the first time it happens, you're like,
what happened?
And then that's what happened. Now they're doing this. They're going to slow you down, you know, for your safety, for that of the environment. And then they'll just have days where, you know, there's just too many people on the road. So you can't use your car. We'll let you know when. We'll let you know when, and you'll thank us. Oh, no, you can't get to that doctor's appointment, but don't worry. You'll still... We're taking care of you, don't you know? And you'll be happier. Every day they come up with one more thing just to keep people from living free lives. I'm Tony Katz.